between the two of them as Robert opened his mouth once again.
I saw your skill firsthand, although, strictly speaking, it is the strength of the backers behind you. On that line of thought, why not lend your strength to me?
What do you mean?
Sung Churl threw out his question while still standing. Join my side. After Fregius's death, there is no one but me to lead the school. It is but a shell of an institution, but we can try to lead it into a better direction. I need a lot of support for that purpose.
Sung Churl circled the room as Robert returned to his seat and spoke again.
Is that your actual name?
Sung Churl nodded.
I had thought it was an alias. I was so sure of it when you created that fifth level alchemic item. I thought, this friend wants to attract the school's attention with such a name.
He misinterpreted the situation to match his own expectations.
Sung Churl continued to listen to Robert's fantasies and managed to determine a single line of thought within his dull story.
Robert didn't believe that Sung Churl produced Elfir's medicine, despite the truth of the matter.
It could have been that the man wasn't familiar with alchemy, or that there was no one to advise him otherwise. Whichever the case, it was to Sung Churl's benefit.
It was due to this misunderstanding that Robert was about to begin negotiations with the most dangerous man that had no friends or allies.
Anyways, I don't know who your friends are that stand behind you, but I can tell that they're willing to devote their heart and soul for you. I know this because I was also a pre-selected. I guess one could call it the difference in temperament felt between pre-selecteds. I know this better than most.
Robert continued to speak vaguely until finally he said what was on his mind.
I need gold coins, a significant amount of gold coins. It is almost assured that I will be the principal, but there are many areas that will require large funds to expedite the process.
What can you do for me? Sung Churl asked sharply.
If you become my strength, I'll give you an important position within Airfruit. Naturally, a position that your backer will be pleased with. People might say that Airfruit is finished, but its name still holds value, so it isn't a bad trade.
Regarding this, Sung Churl stared unflinchingly at Robert as he spoke. I want to hear more details.
I will give you a position as a professor if you want. As you know, the current professor in charge of the School of Alchemy, Pashilfirus, is quite incompetent. He's someone that has to be kicked out.
Isn't it too early? I'm a foreigner that hasn't even been here for a year.
I didn't mean to give it to you immediately. Several preparations need to be made first, but once I am the headmaster, I can prepare you to be on Airfruit Academy's greatest elite course to set you on the path to valedictorian. How about it?
Sung Churl didn't reply. Robert wasn't pleased with Sung Churl's response, but, exerting more self-control, he spoke softly.
Is it not enough?
I only want the secret of cosmomancy. If you can notify Altugius to allow him to hand over the secret of cosmomancy, I'll ask my backers.
Altugius?
Robert began to frown. It looked as though something was on his mind. After significant time had passed, a thin smile formed on his lips and he nodded.
I'll give it a go, but it won't be easy.
What does that mean?
Altugius is quite stubborn. I'll put in a word, but he isn't someone who is liable to listen to others. He wouldn't listen to that vicious Fregius, so what are the chances he'll listen to me?
Then it complicates things.
But he also has a weakness. It is time. Once that girl he treasures so much begins to rot, I'm sure his ears will open. Will you wait for me until then?
Sung Churl nodded for now. He knew nothing would change whether he agreed or not at this point. Robert, who was now much happier, looked at Sung Churl attentively. The man who had been observing Sung Churl's face with narrowed eyes like a viper suddenly opened his mouth.
Now that I think about it, you must be trying to gather some strength if you desire the secret of cosmomancy.
Isn't strength everything in Otherworld?
Robert rolled his eyes and spoke as though he had been waiting for that exact reply.
I can't attest to the quality of the secret, as I've never seen it myself, but I feel as though it's greatly exaggerated. It also seems as though there might have been exaggerations mixed in with the rumor that Altugius managed to kill the vice-captain of the Assassin's Guild. Mayhaps the vice-captain wasn't in peak form.
Robert continued to speak empty words until he slipped in his true intentions.
Why not put aside cosmomancy for the secrets of cryomancy?
Sung Churl sharply shook his head, and Robert's face twisted ever so slightly. Sungchul, seeing this reaction, had an immediate thought.
Should I test him?
During the time he had fought against the followers of Calamity, he had learned more than just combat techniques. He experienced commonalities in mental states and habits of mages and learned how to agitate, anger, or calm them.
I was ordered to learn the secret of cosmomancy or something equivalent.
The trap was set.
Is it not possible for cryomancy to be that substitute?
Cryomancy or pyromancy aren't suitable as substitutes.
Why do you believe so?
It is too common.
These words were to agitate Robert's pride. Mages tended to be crafty, but were also known to be extremely prideful. As expected, Robert's eyes changed. It fell into the same pattern Sungchul had experienced countless times before. Robert took a deep breath before fixing his eyes onto Sungchul, then spoke.
If you seek a path that leads to true enlightenment, I can help guide you a bit. Not too deep, but just a little. Just enough for you and your backers to be satisfied with.
What are you speaking of?
When Sungchul asked, Robert made a wicked smile.
To witness extinction, very briefly. Just a bit of it.
Bad vibes always prove to be accurate. Sungchul looked at Robert in a different light.
Is this bastard also a follower of Calamity?
The entire school was rotten. He briefly thought of the possibility that most of the core members of the school were followers of Calamity, but his expression remained unchanged. Instead, he made a leisurely smile instead and held a hand out towards Robert.
That is exactly the purpose I came to Erfurt for.
As he spoke, he opened his soul storage and pulled out a crate.
Oh, to already have a soul storage? This guy is an unexpectedly powerful figure.
Robert's heart skipped a beat as he waited for the crate to open. Sungchul opened the crate with crude movements. Blinding golden light flooded out of the crate and obstructed Robert's vision. Sungchul felt a wide smile form on Robert's lips as he grabbed one of the golden coins. The golden coin without a mark. The unmarked golden coins. Sungchul handed Robert one of these golden coins and spoke to him in a firm voice.
Never mention that you got these coins from me, unless you wish the entirety of the ancient kingdom as your enemy.
I swear upon my name,
Robert replied with a smile from ear to ear. The fish had bit down on the bait. When he returned to the Cosmomancy building, the atmosphere within the observatory had changed for many reasons.
You finally come,
Altugius walked over and called out in his gruff voice as Sungchul entered the building. Sungchul nodded, then looked over to the side. Leonard's hammock had been folded away. Instead, he sat on the floor upright, looking studious with a book in his hand. He paused in his studies, moving the book slightly to give Sungchul a heinous glare. Sungchul ignored his gaze and continued to move towards Altugius.
Were you expecting me?
Altugius nodded. Sungchul felt that the man looked 10 years older than he was in that moment. It wasn't due to his physical health, but rather he looked extremely exhausted.
I have put you at a distance due to personal reasons, but I have decided to teach you in earnest from this point on.
Altugius handed Sungchul a single necklace. It was a medallion depicting the form of a planet in the sun's orbit with a ray of light striking its center.
This is the insignia of the School of Cosmomancy. Wear it on your neck.
Sungchul did as he was told.
It is actually quite an impressive medallion, but it doesn't seem to fit with your attire.
It looked as though Sungchul's fashion, resembling a laborer, didn't quite suit Altugius.
First, I feel as though you should get a fitted uniform. It has been bothering me for quite a while, to be honest.
There was no way for Sungchul to know, but Altugius was referred to as the Tiger Professor, as he strictly enforced student morality. Leonard, who had been listening in on their conversation, let out a laugh. Altugius turned his head and shot him a look.
Anyways, we have an unwelcome guest.
Altugius pointed a finger towards Leonard's face.
What is this strange creature that I have never taken in as a disciple doing here?
The chilling sarcasm echoed loudly throughout the observatory. Leonard's expression immediately changed. He had believed that Altugius had accepted him, as Altugius had never commented about his presence here, but it now appeared that the professor had been patiently enduring him for the opportunity to chase him out when Sun Churl arrived.
I should have killed that fucker.
His insides were boiling with anger, but it was already too late. He got on his knees and put on a strained expression in hopes of inverting his situation.
I'm sorry, Master. I couldn't be more sorry. It was all due to Fregius' schemes.
I don't need anything from you. Leave immediately.
Altugius was ruthless. As he held out his hand, a brilliant staff with 5 different gems embedded within it appeared from his soul storage.
Or are you prepared to have a gauntlet with me?
Regardless of Leonard's renown within the school as an individual with great strength, he would not be able to contend against Altugius, who had left behind a legend. He paled, then turned around to escape while uttering unintelligible babble, screaming as he retreated from the building. Altugius let out a refreshing laugh after watching this scene.
Don't come back! You're expelled!
This old man, was this his original personality?
It was unexpected. The old man, who always had his back turned towards him, had such a magnanimous personality.
That kid is a follower of Calamity. You should also know who they are, right?
Sung Churl nodded.
Damnable fools. True degenerates. I wanted to kill him, but seeing that he was one of our school's pupils, it would have left a bad taste in my mouth.
Altugius put a pipe in his mouth before inhaling deeply as he looked towards the ceiling of the observatory. There was nothing of interest to see on the domed ceiling that was plastered in white.
How was the summoning palace?
Altugius pulled out his pipe and suddenly asked his question.
It's not a place for leisure, replied Sung Churl.
That seems right. It is a hellish place. However, it is a necessary evil. People from your world think too differently from ours. When too many people with different ideas arrive, the world will inevitably change.
It was an interesting perspective. Sung Churl had always believed that the summoning palace was a special rite of passage designed to filter out the greatest from the rest, to find individuals who could become the saviors of the other world. Those who were the summoned would generally receive better treatment anywhere they went. Altugius breathed out a smoke-infused sigh as he took his eyes off the ceiling.
However, this place has also turned into hell. It doesn't matter what the others think.
Are you referring to the followers of Calamity?
Maybe. Maybe not. They aren't the important part, but the Calamity that they worship is. The Calamity is eating away at us, bit by bit, until we all become insane. It is enough to bewitch even the most noble of us.
Altugius tightly shut both his eyes and fell into deep thought. Soon after, he pulled out Volume 2 from his soul storage.
Take this for now.
Sung Churl opened the book as he received it, but it wasn't something he could understand as of now.
It's the book relating to Meteor, the popular spell that is the core of the school of cosmomancy. You'll need to exceed 210 intuition to learn it.
Isn't this progress too fast?
Might be, but this is a dangerous world. We never know what is going to happen next. First with the principal, and now Fregius. I might also disappear at any time.
Altugius's voice trembled slightly. Sung Churl saw concern and anxiety within his expression.
It has been a while since I've seen a student as diligent as you. A very rare thing to see, even if we take into consideration details like your motivations or your backer.
Altugius, like Robert Danton, suspected Sung Churl of being out of the ordinary with someone supporting him from the shadows. It simply exceeded common sense to witness such a rapid growth otherwise.
That is why I'm gifting you with this. I don't know when you'll be able to make Meteor your own, but it also isn't any of my business.
Altugius finished speaking and returned to his old spot, then turned his back once again. He shot out an unexpected final sentence at Sung Churl, who was staring at his back.
Now, get going since I gave you what you wanted.
What do you mean?
This is everything I can teach you. I'll give you that book, so take it and go.
It was an unexpected development. Sung Churl felt slightly annoyed at the shameless old man's change of heart.
This old man.
He calmed his heart and spoke again.
I can't leave with just this.
Then?
What I want is the secret. I don't have any intention of leaving here before I receive the secret of cosmomancy.
Sungchul could sense magic emanating from Altugius at that moment. A beam of light shot towards Sungchul in that exact moment, a blinding flash. It was glare. Glare's light was aimed slightly off from Sungchul's face. It was the same magic, but due to the difference in Sungchul's magic power, it vastly outstripped his own glare's brilliance and firepower. The beam of light pierced through a bookcase around the outer edge of the observatory and left a hole in the wall. However, Sungchul did not even flinch. Altugius let out a fake cough and stood up from his seat.
What a greedy friend. Can you not be satisfied with just the medallion and meteor? I didn't say it before, but with the medallion, other competitive schools of cosmomancy will accept you as a student.
It can't be anything other than this secret. Sungchul didn't budge at all. Altugius let out a groan. His eyes contained a deep sadness.
Excessive greed can be your downfall, like those of the followers of Calamity.
This isn't excessive. There is a reason that I must receive your secret.
And that reason is? Altugius asked.
Sungchul replied firmly without any hesitation in his voice.
To stop the Calamity.
Altugius's eyes were dyed with surprise as he heard these words, but it lasted only briefly before he let out a chuckle.
That's impossible. Nothing can stop the Calamity.
The seven heroes have done it. Nothing is impossible.
Sungchul spoke with finality. Altugius looked upon Sungchul with mixed emotions until he finally turned away.
Leave, before I become truly angry.
It isn't my business whether you grow angry or not.
Sungchul did not retreat a step. Instead, he stepped forward.
Altugius sighed once more.
I don't want to rough him up, but I suppose I have to suppress him with minimal damage.
Sungchul immediately stopped moving and suddenly looked behind him. Altugius was confused by his abrupt action, but the cause soon revealed itself.
A presence?
A presence that couldn't be underestimated was felt beyond the door. Altugius felt a chill crawling through his body. The presence he felt was not much different from the figure that had made him famous in battle.
Oh my, I was caught. Such good intuition.
The door that had been firmly shut flew open. Beyond the open door, an uninvited guest wearing a black robe with a feline mask stood in wait. He looked at Sungchul and Altugius in turn before speaking in a bright voice.
I would like to ask you, is this the school of cosmomancy?
Saying this, the man took off his mask. A striking face with a long scar across his left eye was revealed. Sungchul could smell the scent of death from the young man.
Is he an assassin?
Murderous intent openly dripped from his presence. This was a luxury that only a few with absolute confidence in their strength could enjoy. Generally, an assassin's strength lies in their ambush, as usually it was their weakness to be exposed in direct battles. The mysterious youth continued to look alternatingly at Sungchul and Altugius.
The one I seek doesn't seem to be here. I'll be taking a gander at both of your strengths, if I may.
He pulled out a scroll and tore it before Altugius could put in a word otherwise. At that moment, his eyes filled with a magical formation and the stats of both men before him appeared.
Young man, average. Old man, extraordinary.
An anecdote came to the youth's mind. A humiliating anecdote whispered in hushed tones within the Assassin's Guild.
Ah, are you Altugius?
Ill-mannered child, how dare you come here and speak such ridiculous things?
Altugius straightened his white beard and scolded in a thunderous voice. The youth showed a surprised expression, but that was it.
Don't torment the young so much. I just wanted to speak briefly.
Altugius suddenly shot glare towards him. The brilliant beam of light shot in that instant had been aimed just beside his temple, but like Sungchul, the young man also did not move. However, their reactions were different. The young man snarled in anger.
You trying to start something here?
He brushed his robes open, revealing dozens of hidden weapons underneath. Altugius let out a laugh.
Are you the Assassin's Guild's lackey? It is uncanny how you and that retard with red hair act alike. If only you had seen how that idiot died, you wouldn't dare show yourself here.
I'm stronger than him, old man.
The youth didn't back down at all. The situation was quickly reaching its climax.
Not bad. I might be able to witness Altugius' skill at this rate.
Sungtrul took a step back to witness this scene, but the fight Sungtrul desired didn't come to fruition. A female voice from beyond the open door calmed the young man.
Orobanikas, what are you hoping to achieve by fooling around in a place like this?
Another figure with a black robe and feline mask entered the observatory.
He looks like he isn't here anyways. Let's just go.
Why are you being like this, Mira? I just wanted to play around a bit before I left.
The youth made a fuss, but his temper had been calmed. He looked at Altugius from the corner of his eye and turned around to leave.
Sorry, old man. We'll settle the score another time.
Altugius crossed his arms and laughed once again. The two figures that left the observatory descended the gentle mountain slope at a slow pace.
Ah, I'm pissed.
Kaz, the eldest son of the Almeida family, looked towards the sky as he muttered to himself. He knew it was a difficult assignment, but the trail was more than a bit bare. He had expected to get his hands on the legendary villain when he first discovered the slave hunter that had been using up the gold coins like they were water. But the covenant enchanted on the slave hunter's body had ruined all of that. The man who couldn't bear the torture uttered a single word, school of cosmomancy. The man's heart proceeded to combust into flames and was sacrificed to the god of mediation as soon as he uttered the word.
But why the school of cosmomancy?
Kaz looked back upon the domed building. The enemy of the world and the school of cosmomancy. There was no common ground to be found. He had ended up visiting the school in the end, but other than the famed old man, there was no one that could possibly fit the description.
Anyways, Mira, how is it on our parents' end? Did they find the other using the unmarked gold coins?
Mira shook her head at the question.
Gone, without saying a word to anyone.
Could he have caught on to our scent?
Maybe. It could also be a coincidence. Either way, there's no reason to rush.
Amidst the conversation, a lone figure caught Kaz's eyes. It was a handsome man wearing a robe dyed in red. He had been sitting in the forest far from the school of cosmomancy by himself, screaming for some reason.
What the hell? Who is that guy?
Who knows? Seems insane to me.
Mira brushed it off as though she wasn't interested, but Kaz was different.
I'm going to check him out for a bit.
Kaz approached the screaming man like a child who had discovered a new interesting toy.
Bitch! Fuck!
The identity of the man sitting in the forest screaming was none other than Leonard Sanctum. Chapter 18. Stinkbug. He had killed countless of those weaker than him. He had been openly caught 5 times, but he had too many sins to name that were committed secretly. Leonard, who had lived such a life, finally met his match. He was hung by his feet and exposed to unrelenting violence. Whips and clubs struck every inch of his body, and when he lost consciousness, a blast of cold water shook him awake. His opponent was a complete stranger. Leonard, who was beaten down to a pulp, asked himself why he was in such a position. He couldn't think of an answer, despite his best efforts to squeeze out an explanation. Other than a stroke of misfortune, that is.
Now, shall we begin our story time?
Kaz opened his mouth with a wicked smile. There were shiny torture tools in his hand in place of the whip, and Leonard, who saw that, began to thrash about wildly from his incapacitated position.
When I first saw you, you had quite a handsome face. It pissed me off. So choose one. Eyes, nose, mouth, or ear. To give up.
A single blade lingered in front of Leonard's eyes. He began to scream something unintelligible and thrashed about once again. Kaz, who saw this ridiculous scene, started laughing while holding his belly. He gripped Leonard's right ear, then sliced it off. A pitiful scream rang out, but there was no one around to help Leonard. A sound barrier cast around the trees prevented his scream from leaking out any further. He was now facing the same final moments that he had forced on those weaker than him in the midst of this complete isolation. However, Kaz pulled out a medicine and put some on Leonard's bleeding injuries, as though he had something in mind.
Want to live?
Leonard endured the pain and forced his head to nod.
If you tell me what I want to hear, I'll let you live.
Kaz made a gesture towards Mira, who was sitting underneath the tree watching the scene silently.
Mira, lend me that thing.
Mira extended her hand without a word. When she did, a colorful insect about the size of a plum crawled out of her sleeve. It was a stink bug shaped like a trapezoid. Kaz grabbed the bug carefully and tore away Leonard's shirt, revealing his back full of bruises and cuts from the constant beating and whipping. Kaz placed the tail of the bug on his back. The bug's six legs flailed about as its sharp tail end began to bore itself into Leonard's back. Leonard thrashed about violently. The stink bug was tearing through his flesh and laying its eggs. One, two, three. Kaz smiled with satisfaction as he saw 10 eggs, then returned the bug to Mira.
Thanks, Mira.
Mira returned the bug to her sleeve and spoke with a frosty voice.
Father won't be pleased if he hears of this. You have to take responsibility.
I'll bear it.
Don't worry. Anyways, don't you think Father's methods are too old-fashioned?
Efficacy drops when we can only lay our hands on those involved.
Kaz looked over at Leonard, who was shaking like a twig, and made a cruel smile.
In this era of calamity, where we're all destined to die anyways, we should use every tool available.
Songchul continued to confront Altugius. It was Altugius who broke first.
Do what you want. I won't take responsibility for whatever misfortune you meet by staying here.
He let out a loud harumph before sitting at his designated spot and sucking on his pipe. However, Songchul was second to none when it came to stubbornness. He didn't budge an inch as he demanded what he wanted.
You don't have to worry about me. Just let me know the secret.
Altugius continued to puff his pipe with a displeased expression when he suddenly pulled something out from his soul storage. It was a small box marked with the insignia of a comet. Orbs composed of gold, silver, bronze, and all other kinds of alloys were revealed when Altugius opened the box with his wrinkled hands.
Activate.
When Altugius softly touched an orb, they floated around him on their own as if they were alive.
These are the training tools used by cosmomancers to learn their craft. People of the past called them the stars of the cosmos, but people of late have taken to calling them as pinballs. Anyway, they're used to gauge the proficiency of that glare spell you've learned.
Altugius pulled out another item from his soul storage. It was a magic scroll. He lightly tossed over the container with the orbs charged with power, along with the scroll, towards Songchul.
Perseverance is a type of talent. I have accepted that you have quite the talent in it. However, there are many different types of talent. The tool I have given you contains the quest refined by countless ancient masters. The quest will test you on another talent required by cosmomancers. You want to learn the secret of cosmomancy? We'll talk after you've overcome this quest.
Songchul held the orbs and magic scroll separately. The orb contained magical energies, and the scroll was for a magic barrier.
Also, make sure to use the scroll before attempting the quest. I don't want this sacred structure of cosmomancy harmed by your crude magic.
Altugius spoke these words and puffed on his pipe while looking at Songchul with a relatively relaxed expression on his face.
They had called me a rare genius that hadn't been seen in hundreds of years, and it still took me 14 months to complete that pinball quest. Even that Leonard, who was praised as a once-in-a-decade genius, couldn't even think it was possible for himself to complete it. No matter how gifted and perseverant this man is, there is a limit to how far one can go with pure talent. This is not something he could solve easily.
For those that couldn't be forced away, one must confuse them with an overwhelming assignment. It was a saying handed down from ancient times within Erfurt's school of cosmomancy, which held a particularly powerful secret. Songchul looked over the orb first.
Activate.
When he uttered their activation command, the six orbs composed of gold, silver, bronze, steel, tin, and white gold flew into the sky and slowly revolved around Sung Churl's vicinity. A brightly lettered message appeared before him. The stars of cosmomancy. The stars of cosmomancy will orbit around your vicinity. As the sovereign of these astral bodies, you must shoot down those that defy you with the authority of light. The stars that are in defiance will be dyed with darkness, so observe carefully with both of your eyes. Please care to observe your surroundings before starting the trial so as to not create casualties.
It was a ubiquitous type of quest among those he had experienced within Erfurt. It also used vague language that was typical of Erfurt's quests. What does the light's authority refer to? Is it talking about glare?
Altugius, who had been watching Sung Churl, shouted with a loud voice,
"It's a trial for shooting down the dark orbs with glare. The magic barrier was a one-time gift, so buy one at your expense before you reattempt the quest."
The price of magic barrier seals was significant. They reached 50 silver coins in price, and their supply was low, so it was hard to get a hold of one. This was well within Altugius's intentions.
This quest takes up more than just a lot of effort. It also digs into the pocketbook of the one being tested. Now let's see how this friend's talent fares in cosmomancy magic.
Altugius reclined to a more comfortable position as he looked over in Sung Churl's direction. Sung Churl activated the scroll and deployed the barrier, then turned his attentions to the orbs circling him. "Shout the phrase, begin, once you are ready." Sung Churl calmed the magical energy in his body and took a shot towards the barrier as a test. Glare. A beam of light fired out from his fingertip and struck one part of the barrier before it disappeared. Altugius smiled with his eyes.
His magic power is still weak. It looks to be around 140, I think.
Sung Churl, who had tested out his magic, now turned to the orbs circling him and spoke quietly.
Begin.
Level 1.
The path of the orb circling him began to change.
The golden orb suddenly became dyed in darkness and flew past his face. Sung Churl didn't hesitate in using glare. A beam of light shot out from his finger to strike and peel away its darkness. One of Altugius's brows shot up.
Is it luck?
After striking one orb, Sung Churl turned his focus onto the copper orb rushing at him. The orb that had appeared from his blind spot flew past him and approached another blind spot when it began to dye itself in darkness. Sung Churl's eyes had caught it, but his inexperience with magic caused his aim to waver and strike feebly into the barrier.
As expected, beginner's luck. It couldn't have been anything else, for sure.
Altugius inhaled from his pipe and let out a sigh of relief. Soon, the first level had finished. Your score! 3 of 10, number of heavenly bodies struck versus number of heavenly bodies that defied you. Judgment, failure.
It was a shameful result for Sung Churl.
He could hear Altugius's laughter.
It looks as though you're a bit lacking to be demanding the secret of cosmomancy.
The orbs that had been orbiting Sung Churl fell into their container. Sung Churl pulled out a mana drink from his soul storage. Altugius, who had been laughing, looked on with shock.
What? This guy also has a soul storage?
Sung Churl drank 2 bottles of mana drink at once, dropped them onto the floor, then rubbed the orb once again.
Activate.
It wasn't just a grudge. The first attempt at the test was nothing more than an attempt to adjust his sights. His perception, honed to its limits and decades of combat experience during his time as an absolute warrior, wasn't just for show. During the first test, after missing his second shot, he focused on improving his control over the output of the spell, rather than its accuracy. And by the final shot, he had already commanded complete control over the spell as he scored a hit.
Begin.
There was nothing to stop him once he managed to get a feel for it. He looked on at the orbs spinning dizzyingly around him. Altugius felt an unusual aura surrounding him, but he ignored it and continued smoking his pipe. The first orb soon became dyed in darkness and flew past Sung Churl's face.
Glare.
The beam of light shot out from his finger and accurately struck the center of the orb, peeling away the darkness. The second one, with the tricky flight path, flew past him from his blind spot to another blind spot as before. Sung Churl didn't flinch as he took a step back and smoothly shot the orb to banish the darkness. Altugius's eyes flew open.
No, that one!
In the first level, the second orb was known to be the most difficult target. It was the quest host's intention to throw off the tester's balance with a high-difficulty curveball that would affect his future attempts within the level. However, this mysterious man overcame that second shot with ease. He continued striking every other orb in their tricky flight paths with little difficulty. Altugius ended up dropping his pipe after a short time passed. Your score, 10 of 10. Number of heavenly bodies struck versus number of heavenly bodies that defied you. Judgment, pass. Sung Churl looked at the score that appeared before him with disinterest and drank another mana drink. Astounding! You have completed the first level with a perfect score. Reward, +3 magic power, +3 intuition, +3 dexterity. It even raised dexterity, unlike a typical mage quest, but the quest wouldn't be able to raise Sung Churl's dexterity. Error. Your dexterity is higher than the dexterity of the quest host, and thus you will not be able to receive the boost in dexterity. Quests gave an opportunity for unspecified people to receive boosts in stats, but unless it was like the devil in the basement who gave out his own stats, it wouldn't raise the recipient's stats beyond that of the quest host. There weren't many who could exceed Sung Churl in his physical stats. This was also the reason why Sung Churl didn't bother much with the quests of the remaining 7 heroes, other than the mage heroes. He was sure that there was no one among the 7 heroes who could come close to his physical stats. Would you like to begin level 2? Sung Churl's eyes were now focused on the next level, and Altugius couldn't take his eyes off from the figure of the indescribably amazing man. Mages generally preferred and were trained to fight one-sided battles that could be handled elegantly with no risk of injury. Combat vision, quick judgment, psychological warfare, flexibility to respond to developing situations, quick reflexes. These sweaty, crude, broad categories of combat were largely ignored. However, within the School of Cosmomancy, or at least the observatory run by Altugius, there was a different atmosphere. The Stars of Cosmomancy, or Pinball as they were more commonly called, was more of a physical training that emphasized quick reflexes and the ability to deal with extraneous circumstances rather than being actual magic training. Sung Churl grew surer of his assumption as he drew closer to the third level of the Star of Cosmomancy. The dark stars no longer lingered around his vicinity. They either rushed in recklessly or attacked him discreetly, and they ceaselessly and ferociously drove him to a corner. The Stars of Cosmomancy tested more than just reflex and quick response. A particular star was designed to be too quick and irregular to hit. Sung Churl was initially stumped, but he discovered that this star too had a complex pattern designed to disguise its repetitive nature. Using suppressive fire, Sung Churl was able to push its movements to its limit and was able to obtain a point without much trouble.
I can't believe this even as I watch it.
Every time Sung Churl achieved victory, Altugius's breath grew increasingly rough. His eyes didn't see an amateur recently spat out by the summoning palace, but rather a master's expertise honed by dozens of years of swordplay.
Is he a genius? Or is he a well-trained swordsman?
Sung Churl's stats were barely adequate for an apprentice mage, and his strange movements could be better associated with experience rather than sheer stats. When calm finally settled in the observatory, Altugius instinctively knew that the man of unknown origins would be the very first figure to break through the Stars of Cosmomancy in a single day since the conception of the Airfruit branch of the School of Cosmomancy. Sung Churl lazily looked over the rewards that appeared before him as he opened his status window. Stats: Strength, 999+. Dexterity, 853. Vitality, 801. Magic Power, 151. Intuition, 131. Magic Resist, 621. Resilience, 502. Charisma, 18. Luck, 18. It was still an unsatisfactory amount, but to other people, his growth could be considered nothing short of miraculous. Altugius thought along the same lines.
Is this man a monster?
The monster approached Altugius and pushed the box containing the orbs back into his possession.
Now that I've passed the trials as you've requested, will you pass me the secret?
You have yet to complete all the trials.
To be exact, he wasn't quite prepared yet. His heart wasn't prepared to accept this astounding result. Altugius pardoned himself with nonsensical excuses like a pouting child and turned him away for the moment.
Return for now. I have some thinking to do.
Sung Cho looked at Altugius passively and nodded.
I understand. I'll return tomorrow.
He had passed the trial in one go, but it was a trial that consumed significant amounts of mana. Sung Cho felt that he was quickly approaching the threshold of using magic power that Bertelgia had talked about. This was why he obediently followed Altugius' request.
But when I return tomorrow, your heart better be ready for what needs to happen.
After Sung Cho left the observatory, Altugius felt heavy fatigue wearing down on his aged shoulders. Too many things had happened at the same time. Time alone was the medicine to calm the turbulence of the mind, but reality wouldn't give him the opportunity.
Knock, knock, knock.
Someone knocked upon the observatory door.
Who is it?
When Altugius asked, a cold, emotionless voice responded from beyond the door.
I have brought the items sent by the Inquisitor of Heresy.
Leave it at the front.
When the footsteps faded away, Altugius dragged his old yet spry body towards the door. A large sack full of gold coins had been left there. Altugius let out a sigh and placed it into his own soul storage. He looked down at the panoramic view of the school beneath the cliff of the mountain as he put the sack away. The view that opened up beneath his feet wasn't much different than the view he had seen when he first stepped foot into the observatory as the professor of cosmomancy, but he knew better than anyone that the school had begun heading down the path of no return. The face of a certain somebody appeared clearly on his mind as he looked on at the faded scenery. The man, with an impressive beard that had gone partially gray, had a mild temper, but had led the teaching staff with his powerful voice and strong personality. The world would remember him as the Grand Magnus, the final headmaster of Erfurt. Altugius recalled the final conversations he had had with the man, who had been a friend for most of his life. The man had said to him,
"The world is a sea, and we are but rafts floating on top of it. The rafts can navigate the sea, but it cannot affect the sea in any way. We can only acknowledge the flow of the world. That is all."
It wasn't widely known, but the Grand Magnus was a follower of Calamity. He had sought to leave behind the achievements as a follower of Calamity, but he had died by Altugius's hands. Altugius believed his decision to be correct at the time, but after these 3 years, his resolution was wavering.
If only I had died instead by that bastard's hands at that time.
Sung Cho was en route to the House of Recollections.
Growl.
Maybe it was due to the amount of concentration spent on the trials. He felt quite ravenous. It was his policy to always eat something delicious when he was hungry. He would expend some of his own effort to prepare food when he was in the middle of nowhere, but a must for foodies is the exploration of hidden restaurants. He began scrolling through his memory to seek out the hidden gems within Golden City, but the food joint of his memories had become some guild's office that he had never heard of.
Hey, Mr. Summoned! What are you doing here? Are you perhaps here to apply to our guild?
The man standing guard in front of the guild with an overbite called out to Sung Cho.
I have no business here.
Sung Cho ignored him and moved on to the next location, but when he walked along the main street, a familiar face appeared. It was Philrus, the professor of alchemy, and his disciples.
Shit! Trash discovered!
Bertelgia peeked out from his pocket and lightly shook her body. Pashil soon discovered Sung Churl. He suddenly looked quite amiable and began talking to Sung Churl.
Hey, look who it is! If it isn't my best pupil!
Sung Churl looked on with an indifferent expression. It was because he couldn't recall ever becoming that man's disciple. Pashil laughed awkwardly, scratching his head, and opened his mouth once again.
Ha! Man, isn't it a bit hot around here?
If you'll excuse me. Sung Churl squeezed past Pashil and his students. Their view of Sung Churl had changed compared to the day they had first met him at the rundown tents. Their eyes were now filled with envy, greed, jealousy, and the like. Sung Churl did not lock eyes with any of them and walked past quickly. It was at this moment when Pashil followed along at a quick pace and struck up another conversation with great affectation.
Oh, where are you headed?
To eat.
If that's the case, why not join us? You're a part of the School of Alchemy, after all.
When Sung Churl grew silent, Pashil carefully looked at him and asked,
What's wrong? Perhaps you don't want to eat with us?
I'm quite picky with food. I don't want to go somewhere that's not up to par. When he heard this, Pashil broke into a satisfied smile and pulled Sung Churl close.
Then that's great. We're planning on going somewhere with a great chef.
Is that so? Sung Churl's frozen heart melted slightly. Regardless of everything, Pashil was someone that had resided within Golden City for quite a while. It might be faster for him to rely on the man for good food. Sung Churl pleasantly agreed with such thoughts.
Okay, I'll trust you this time.
You'll be glad you listened to me.
Pashil's eyes were filled with confidence, as they always were. After a while, this food score is 18. As someone of the chef class, Sung Churl could see the score of dishes he tasted. He had expected the score to be a bit low, as Pashil's wallet was tight, and he had ordered the cheapest food with the largest quantity. But that wasn't the only reason. No matter how cheap the food was, there was a standard that must be maintained. He took another bite. This food score is 17. A flicker of anger leaked onto Sung Churl's face. It was a bit of rage that was kept in check, even during Leonard's flurry of insults. This isn't meant for human consumption. What was laid in front of Sung Churl was a soup made mainly from pig intestine and potatoes that had been flavored with enough spices to numb the tongue. Its preparation was half-assed. They didn't even bother to remove the undesirable smells from the intestine. The chef only bothered to suppress the disgusting scent with strong spices, and he completely failed at even that. The other dishes were the same. They were decorated to look decent, but the flavor entirely depended on strong spices. There are no narcotics used here, but there are some addictive substances to flavor it that are quite similar. Sung Churl managed to unravel all of the secrets behind the restaurant in just two bites. This wasn't something he would dare call food. It lacked any sort of dedication or consideration for those eating it. It was just a dish made to be sold in large quantities for profit. Despite all this, the restaurant was packed. Whether this was due to the people of Golden City having crude tastes or the provocative dish serving its purpose, it was clear that the restaurant was thriving.
Is the food not to your taste? The dish of the greatest restaurant of Golden City?
Pashil asked after devouring his food gluttonously when he noticed that Sung Churl had left his plate largely untouched. Sung Churl nodded, excused himself quietly, then rose from his seat.
Where are you going?
To get a bit of air. Sung Churl followed the street around the restaurant to peek into the kitchen. He witnessed a traumatic scene within. Sung Churl's eyes grew wide in shock.
Now, we must quickly make the fodder for humans, ya yo. Just scoop out a bit of the poop inside the pig intestines and wash it once or twice, ya yo. The tastes of the people of this city have already adjusted to the taste of pig shit, ya yo.
It was the homunculi that were handling the food. They were pretending to be chefs, going as far as donning chefs' hats, and were carrying out the directions of another homunculus who was giving orders and preparing the meal. The actual chef of the restaurant was handed the food prepared by these homunculi and created the dishes by caking it entirely with enough spices to paralyze the taste buds before putting it up for the customers.
They are finding flavor in food soaked in pig shit water! Filthy humans, yeah, yo!
One of the homunculi shouted as he soaked vegetables in the water used to wash off the intestines. The other homunculus bothered to wipe down the containers piled up to the side, but Sung Churl's angry expression didn't relax. He had only wasted his appetite. I should have just made the food myself to eat. Sung Churl firmly decided to bid Pashil farewell and returned to the restaurant, but a group of mages wearing familiar clothing stood in front of the restaurant's entrance. Their uniforms were dyed in blue. They were the mages of the School of Cryomancy.
It's been so long since we ate here.
My guts are going wild. Let's enjoy a proper meal.
The cryomancers were looking quite excited. They were licking their lips as they entered the restaurant and smiled as the scent of spices within the restaurant entered their nose. The one who looked the oldest among them spoke with the manager. Sung Churl took a step back and watched them converse.
We're 10 here. Do you have room?
The manager paled at the question.
As you can see, it is a full house.
The cryomancer looked displeased as he glared at the manager and looked about the restaurant. The man finally smirked and looked back towards the manager.
Look, there's room over there.
His finger pointed towards a corner of the restaurant where a group of students was eating the cheapest meal with gluttonous vigor. It was the School of Alchemy.
But, dear customer, those customers have not finished their meals yet.
I'll talk to them myself. So just prepare the food. Bring out the most expensive meal with the most expensive booze. The money is here.
The man smirked as he handed a shiny gold coin to the manager. Sung Cho's eyes flashed with a strange light as he saw the gold coin.
It is the unmarked gold coin.
It looked as though Robert had begun circulating the gold coins he had received from Sung Churl to his subordinates already. This meant that the battle between the ones that killed Christian and the followers of Calamity was going to begin in earnest. Sung Churl had planned on taking a step back and quietly watching the two fight, and when the opportune moment arrived, as Sung Churl was drawing out plans for the future in his mind, a crowd of students looking quite upset headed towards his direction. It was the professor of alchemy and his students that had been eating excitedly just before they lost their spot.
Those sons of bitches! Not even dogs are bothered during a meal.
I want to get out of the School of Alchemy.
Sung Churl looked over at Pashil and his students, who had to leave their spot with slumped shoulders at the cost of chump change, and opened his mouth as though he was waiting for them.
Thank you for the meal.
The food was atrocious, but more than that, he had managed to get meaningful information. He could always eat some more food at the dorms, but information wasn't so easy to come by. Sung Churl returned to the dorms with a light heart when he felt an unusual aura seeping from the dormitory.
A sound seal?
The seal, often used by assassins, had been cast over the entirety of the dormitory. At the same time, a dark shadow was drawing over Altugius as well.
The vigilance seal over the House of Recollections has been severed. Is Sarasa in danger?
Altugius hurriedly dragged his aged body from his seat and pulled out the staff from his soul storage. When he swung the staff, the magic formation of the lift carved on the exterior of the observatory lit up as it activated. He rushed to enter the lift. But before he had managed to even take a few steps, a chilling light flashed before his eyes. Altugius reflexively deflected the light with glare. Clunk! A sword that had been partially burned away rolled on the floor. Altugius's expression changed. He was suddenly staring at the dark-robed assailant that stood in his path.
Where are you rushing off to, Altugius?
He had heard the man's voice behind the feline mask before. Kaz Almeida. The bastard had sought out this place once again.
Get out of my way. I don't have time to deal with you.
Altugius felt his stomach burning a hole in itself from impatience, but Kaz walked leisurely with a chilling aura about him, as though he knew of the exact situation.
I had always been curious about this. How did some pathetic mage manage to kill the Assassin's Guild vice-captain?
Altugius tried to move past him in hopes to salvage even a second of time, but the assassin named Kaz stood in his path once again as to purposefully obstruct him.
Disappear from my sight if you don't want to die.
It looks like that mage was telling the truth, seeing how you're so impatient with your weakness exposed.
Kaz made a sinister smile as he approached Altugius. That mage? Who are you talking about? Altugius' face grew ugly. He already knew the answer.
Leonard. That bastard. Did he actually?
The assassin pulled out two blades and released his chilling aura instead of a proper answer.
Shing!
The cold blade flashed in front of Altugius' eyes. It was the moment when he broke through the sound ceiling barrier.
Crash!
A corner of the second floor came crashing down. Sung-cho saw wooden planks flying about and realized that a battle was taking place within the House of Recollections.
Who's fighting whom?
Through the newly created hole in the floor, he witnessed a blonde girl in robes escaping while deploying magic formations.
It was Sarasa.
The man chasing her from behind was wearing a red uniform.
Isn't that Leonard?
He was laughing maniacally as he shot glare toward Sarasa without restraint.
Die! Die!
They disappeared to the far side of the hole, and another blast of sound struck the eardrums. Sung-cho broke through the second floor and saw them. Sarasa and Leonard were both staring hatefully at each other as they continued their fight. The decorum of battle had yet to break down, and also, it wouldn't be too late to intervene later. Sung-cho erased his presence and disappeared into the darkness.
Why are you attacking me?
Sarasa spat out a breath of cold air as she asked her question. Leonard answered with a smiling face.
I don't have any personal feelings toward you one way or the other. What could I want from a corpse like yourself?
Sung-cho thought on that reply. There had to be a reason for Leonard's sudden action. He always looked to be mentally on edge, but he was no fool. At the very least, he should have been aware that a vigilance seal was protecting Sarasa's residence, and that disturbing her would cause the terrifying Altugius to charge over right away. There had to be a reason for which he still initiated this situation. Sung-cho discovered the reason from Leonard's appearance. His face had a bluish tint, like that of a zombie. Also, his clothes had been torn away at the shoulder, revealing bumpy holes along his backside. Sung-cho knew what this meant.
Someone planted some venomous bugs inside his body. It looks like the handiwork of the Grimada family of the four families of the Assassin's Guild. But why is he also missing an ear?
The insect eggs embedded into the body. The torn-off ear. Sung-cho immediately came to a simple conclusion that combined both of these facts.
The Assassin's Guild has involved itself.
There was no way to determine the reason for their involvement, nor should one ever try to find out. They were a group that would do anything for proper compensation, and they would kill anyone for any number of reasons.
I'm not the bad guy here. It's your Gramps that's the villain. If that old bag had just taught me the secret of cosmomancy, it wouldn't have had to come to this.
Leonard Sanctum was letting out flames from his staff for intimidation. On the other hand, Sarasa stood as still as ice, as cold as the freezing air that she surrounded herself with, while glaring back at him with a chilling stare. But she was unable to bring the full extent of her might to bear. It was due to a small scratch left on her face. Leonard had aimed for her face during his ambush and disrupted a portion of the preservation magic put on her body. Such a small wound would appear harmless, but it was actually a fatal strike against Sarasa, since utilizing a large amount of mana while the preservation magic was in disarray would lead to an extremely rapid decay of her face. It was a cheap and cowardly trick fitting of Leonard. Sarasa, who didn't want to lose her face, could only remain defensive.
If I can drag this out, it'll be my victory.
Chwing!
The sky skrill in Sarasa's pocket was suffering from the frosty air surrounding her. She whispered in a small voice,
please hold on a bit longer.
She glared at Leonard, who was mocking her, and suddenly gathered her magic power.
Ice wall!
A wall of ice unfolded between Leonard and Sarasa. Sarasa attempted to quickly retreat at that moment, but Leonard shattered it with a blast of magic power as soon as the wall was erected, as though he had been anticipating it.
Where are you off to? Let's play some more, meat puppet!
Sarasa still wasn't exerting all of her will, but she expertly fended off Leonard's attacks. However, her skin was losing its vigor and began wrinkling as the battle went on. A small bit of respite came after a lengthy exchange of blows, and neither were seriously hurt, but Sarasa was clearly exhausted.
Phew.
However, Sonasa did not lose her fighting spirit. She had someone to trust.
If I hold on a bit longer, Grandpa will come.
It was at that moment Leonard opened his mouth.
Are you perhaps thinking it'll be okay if you buy some time?
He struck the heart of the matter. Sarasa's eyes that contained a glowing blue light glared at Leonard. He smirked before spilling his spiel.
Stupid! No matter how long you wait, Altugius isn't coming.
Her eyes shook violently upon hearing this.
What are you talking about?
Someone real scary is planning on getting in his way. There is also a sound sealing barrier cast outside. No one will come to help you, nor save you.
Leonard, who could wield two magic markings, held a ball of light in one hand and a ball of fire in the other. He was now prepared to finish her off.
Why do you think I assaulted you? Wouldn't I have come at you before otherwise? Now that things have gotten this far, I don't plan on showing you any mercy.
Try me.
Sarasa's eyes radiated a chilling light. Leonard let out a laugh.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do to you. Listen carefully. I'm going to take you down and make a piece of art while you still hold breath.
A piece of art?
Yep, an awe-inspiring masterpiece that will be enough to sweep that old man off his feet.
Leonard's eyes became dyed in lunacy.
You're insane,
Sarasa spat back coldly, but it had shaken her. The lunacy in Leonard's eyes held no doubt.
I'll say this again, but you have no fault in this. If you want to blame anyone, blame your gramps. The same gramps that turned me into this.
Sarasa gathered all the magic power available to block the combination of light and fire, but she felt strained. Something unexpected also occurred. The sky squirrel couldn't endure the chill any longer and fainted. Sarasa, who could feel this, lost her concentration and was thrown against the wall. The fight had ended. Leonard walked towards Sarasa.
Should I call this the silver lining? I really thought the world was ending when that fucker beat me, put eggs in my body, and cut off my ear. Who could have thought that it was a shortcut to such sweet revenge?
Leonard had a greater hatred for Altugius's relative than for the assassin who had cut off his ear. It was due to the grudge from what he believed to be Altugius's betrayal, added by the rationale that none of this would have occurred if Altugius hadn't cast him out.
Don't fret. Once I killed a lot of you, I'll soon follow.
What?
Sarasa asked with a pained expression.
There's no way that guy will let me off once he figures out that you guys have nothing to do with the enemy of the world. Well, maybe it's better this way. I can hunt you guys after death.
Leonard pulled out a single blade in his possession.
Now what kind of masterpiece shall I make?
As Leonard's blade flashed, a man revealed himself from the shadows. Leonard felt the sudden presence and turned around. His eyes, which were overflowing with lunacy, shook violently. It was Sung Churl.
Who is this?
Leonard abandoned Sarasa and headed to Sung Churl like a predator who had found a tastier prey.
I was meaning to find you for some fun.
Just answer my question, Sung Churl suddenly spoke.
What?
You said that the assassin was looking for the enemy of the world. Is this correct? Leonard laughed instead of replying.
What does it matter to a fucker like...
As Leonard was about to finish his sentence, Sung Churl's crude hand wrapped around his face and plummeted him towards the ground. The floor shattered, and Leonard's head was embedded halfway into the floor. Fear flashed across Leonard's face, but it was already too late for regrets. Sung Churl grabbed his head and smashed it onto the floor again. Smash! 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 It continued repeatedly, and soon an indecipherable whimper split out of Leonard's mouth.
Save me! Save me!
Sung Churl relaxed the grip on his head. Instead, he grabbed Leonard's body and stomped on the places that the venomous bugs had planted their eggs in with his military boots. Pop! Pop! The insects embedded into Leonard's body writhed violently as they were squashed by Sung Churl's boots. Every time they thrashed, it translated directly into Leonard as pain.
Quack!
Leonard twisted his body wildly like a beast struck by lightning. Sarasa held the sky squirrel with both hands and watched the scene with concern and surprise. After a series of torture had ended, Sungchul once again asked his question to Leonard.
Answer me, mage. If you don't remember my question, I'll gladly remind you.
Leonard choked on some air before spitting out his answer as soon as Sung Churl's words finished.
That's right. That guy, he was looking for the enemy of the world. He asked where the enemy of the world was, and that I need to find him. That's why.
He was already halfway gone. Sung Churl held Leonard's right arm and pulled it off.
Clang!
The presence of magic is known to be varied among people, but it is commonly gathered in the right hand. So those without the ability to use their right hands were also unable to use magic. Sung Churl tossed Leonard, who had become an invalid, to the side and approached Sarasa.
Are you injured?
No injuries, but who are you?
Sarasa's eyes sparkled.
I am a passing freshman.
At that moment, he could hear a familiar shout.
Sarasa! Sarasa! Are you here?
It was Altugius' voice. It was ragged and out of breath, but the vigor behind it was unchanged. Sung Churl noticed a dark fog following behind him.
Is that the assassin?
Sung Churl extended a hand towards Sarasa.
Go and tell your grandfather of your state.
Sarasa nodded and grabbed his hand. It was rough and battered, but felt dependable. Holding Sung Churl's hand, she righted herself before approaching the dormitory window and waved to her grandfather.
Grandpa! Here! Over here! I'm fine!
Altugius, who had been wandering the yard, heard her voice and raised his head. After confirming her safety, a small tear formed in his eyes. However, it was only a brief moment before he poured out a fearsome aura as he turned around.
Now shall we start this for real?
The dark fog following Altugius dissipated as soon as the assailant heard those words.
That useless bastard. Looks like he failed.
Kaz, who had been bothering Altugius as a fog, returned to his human form and retreated a step. He looked as though he had lost interest and looked towards Sarasa. He noticed a certain man. Kaz combed through his memories to recall that the man had been at the school of Cosmomancy building. He was the most worthless of the three, but he could detect something strange about the man that he couldn't quite put his finger on. The feeling didn't last long, as a powerful glare was fired by Altugius, aiming to take his life. Kaz returned to his fog form before leisurely leaving the scene. Once Altugius confirmed that his enemy had left, he ran over to Sarasa's side. An emotional reunion soon followed. Sung Churl took a step back and watched their reunion with indifferent eyes.
Leonard Sanctum, how dare you do such a thing?
Altugius, who heard the whole story, looked over at Leonard, who was half dead with eyes full of pity.
When I first saw you, I thought of you as a rough gemstone. You had outstanding talent and potential, and I figured you were someone who was good enough to take up my mantle with Erfrut.
Realizing that his former student's death was not far, Altugius unhesitatingly poured out his heart. Leonard, who had been slumped over, letting out an incoherent whimper, trembled weakly.
But you couldn't hold yourself back and committed too many sins. God has given you talent, but he has also given you a container unworthy of such talent. Leonard Sanctum, this is all I have to say to you.
Could he have truly understood the meaning behind Altugius's words? Leonard was hunched over like a shrimp and let out an indecipherable scream. Something was crawling out of his back. It was a stink bug with a pattern sparkling like a jewel. Sung Churl didn't hesitate in walking over Leonard's corpse and stomping on the stink bug.
Did you save my granddaughter?
Altugius spoke to Sung Churl with a shaking voice. Sung Churl nodded.
What? How could you? He should have been an opponent that you couldn't win against.
That's not important. What I want is one thing only. The secret of cosmomancy.
Altugius could see it once again. The eyes of Sung Churl were firm and determined, unclouded by doubt.
Just who could this man be?
It was something he could never know, even if dozens of years passed. The only thing he was sure of was that the man was destined for greatness in the field of magic. Altugius decided to not refuse that fate any longer and nodded.
Fine. In return for saving my granddaughter, who is to say anything about handing over a secret of a dying school? I'm not sure if it'll be enough to repay you,
His secret of cosmomancy was finally in his grasp. But at that moment, Sungtro could hear the noise of countless military boots entering the sound ceiling barrier.
Kew! Kew!
The sky squirrel cried out nervously from Sarasa's grasp. Soon, Sungtro's companions could confirm the identity of the unwelcome guest.
Altugius Zero!
It was the minions of the Inquisitor of Heresy. Among them, a man had unfurled a long scroll and began to shout loudly.
You have been charged with heresy and or abetting heresy, along with the crime of murder of a devout follower and 13 other criminal charges, and thus we have come to apprehend you.
Chapter 19. The Hunt. Altugius looked towards the Inquisitor of Heresy with disbelief.
No. How did you?
The Inquisitor of Heresy shoved past the surrounding people and approached Altugius. He spoke to him in a quiet voice that only Altugius could hear.
This is an act, all for the effort of restoring your school.
The entire situation was like a bolt from the blue, but since the Inquisitor said it, then it must be true. Altugius' eyes shook restlessly, but his shoulders finally gave way and accepted the situation. The Inquisitor's minions bound Altugius and gagged his mouth.
Grandpa!
Sarasa ran towards the minions with a sad look on her face, but Altugius only shook his head. His words couldn't be understood at the moment due to the gag around his mouth, but he sent out a warm gaze instead. Finally, he looked towards Sungtro. He tried to signal Sungtro with his eyes, but Sungtro was also trying to convey something. He had a rigid expression as he shook his head, then glared coldly at the Inquisitor.
Does he mean not to trust the Inquisitor of Heresy?
There wasn't much time for thought. The Inquisitor of Heresy, Magnus Maxima, left the building, and his minions roughly dragged Altugius along with him. When the crowd of people departed, the pale girl and the silent man were left behind with the cold corpse.
What should we do? What should we do now?
Too many things had happened at once. Sarasa could feel all of her strength leaving her body as she collapsed where she stood.
What should I do now?
She suddenly became alone. There was no one left to look after her. To make matters worse, the preservation magic contained in her left cheek had been shattered, causing her skin to start withering slowly. She would soon lose her beauty until she would look no different than any other liches with their mummified face. Despite all this, the thing that shook her most deeply was the frustration of the unforeseeable future unfolding in front of her. When sorrow replaced despair, she felt enough pain to make her chest ache, but her eyes could not shed a single tear. The dead cannot cry. It was at that moment.
Get up.
The man of mystery spoke firmly, yet with force.
Stand up and face reality.
It was a simple command, but his words contained some strange persuasiveness. Sarasa found herself righting herself, as he had told her to. The preservation in her right arm had been partially destroyed during the battle, causing her right arm to also shrivel up like a corpse.
How should I face this reality?
Sungtro pointed towards the House of Recollections at the words of Sarasa, who had turned into a half-corpse at this point.
When there is nothing you can do, you will have to rely on someone you trust and just wait.
Sungtro let those words linger and walked forward.
Wait here, without fear. Time will give you an answer.
Sarasa tightly made a fist and nodded. Sungtro stood before the sound ceiling barrier, which was on the verge of collapse, and spoke once more.
Don't forget to feed the sky squirrel.
He then stepped past the barrier.
That assassin, he was looking for me.
He had no intention of returning empty-handed today. Kaz Almeida was a genius among geniuses that the family managed to produce for the first time in decades. He had narrowly escaped the threshold of the curse of extinction and had all the qualities of an assassin, such as brutality, precision, and patience in spades, along with his innate talent, allowing him to master a variety of assassination techniques from the maternal family along with the paternal family. He also carried the inevitable characteristic of arrogance that all geniuses had, but for him, It was closer to a form of confidence from knowing the exact measure of his abilities than true arrogance. He put himself in extreme situations and enjoyed pulling himself out of any obstacle, and he managed to gain great benefits from this dangerous method. The Almeida family gave warnings regarding his methods while ultimately being unable to stop him.
Thanks to the commotion you've created in Erfurt, our existence has been made aware to the Inquisitor of Heresy. If I didn't make negotiations, we would have had the Order of Purity, the enemy of the world, and the followers of